Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day.
Today we'll be learning Hilchot Chametz Umatzah, Perek Bet. The last perek was about the various mitzvot lo taseh related to chametz, and in this perek, the Rambam moves to the one mitzvah aseh associated with chametz. The exact meaning of this mitzvah is unclear from the wording of the pasuk in which it appears, and the Rambam will explain what the mitzvah consists of in Halachot Aleph and Bet. From that point on, the perek discusses the related rabbinic obligation of bedikat chametz, checking one's house to find all chametz which may be lying around. Halacha Aleph. Mitzvat aseh min ha-Torah lehashbit ha-chametz kodem zman isur achilato. Shneamar bayom harishon tashbitu sor mibateichem. Mipi ha-shmua lamdu sherishon ze hu yom arba'a asar. Uraya ledavar ze ma shekatuv ba-Torah lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi. Klomar lo tishchat ha-pesach ve-chametz kayam. Ushchitat ha-pesach hi yom arba'a asar achar chatzot. The pasuk in Parshat Bo says, "Bayom harishon tashbitu se'or mibateichem." The word tashbitu is a command to somehow remove chametz and se'or from our possession, and the Rambam will explain in Halacha Bet exactly how. When must this be done? The phrase "bayom harishon" seems to refer to the first day of Pesach, but this cannot be, as another pasuk, "Lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi," implies that one cannot have any chametz in his possession when the time to shech the korban Pesach arrives, and this time, as we've seen, is noon on erev Pesach, the 14th of Nisan. So "bayom harishon" must refer to erev Pesach, and this mitzvah of tashbitu must be performed in the morning of that day. Halacha bet, umahi hashpata zo hamura b'Torah, hi shivatel chametz milibo, v'yachshov oto ka'afar, v'yasim b'libo she'ein b'rshuto chametz klal, v'shekol chametz b'rshuto harei hu ka'afar, uchdavar she'ein bo tzorech klal. What exactly is the mitzvah of tashbitu? That one mentally nullify the chametz, and consider it to be like dirt that has no value or constructive use. The Rambam considers bitul balev, nullifying in one's heart, to be the fulfillment of this mitzvah, but other Rishonim disagree. Tosfot believe that tashbitu is a mitzvah to physically destroy any chametz in one's possession, and we'll discuss more details of how that is done in Perek Gimel. The purpose of bitul, according to Tosfot, is to remove chametz from one's possession so that he does not violate bal yira'eh uval yimatzeh because of it. As such, Tosfot equate bitul with hefker, renouncing ownership of the chametz. The Rambam doesn't speak in terms of renouncing ownership, but rather of how one relates to the chametz. Bitul is essentially a decision to relate to the chametz as something of no value. We note that the Kesef Mishnah had a different girsa in the Rambam in this halacha, which combines the two understandings of tashbitu. Any chametz in one's possession, which he knows about, must be physically taken out and destroyed, while bitul works only for chametz in his possession, which he does not know about. The Kesef Mishnah concludes in favor of our girsa, that bitul works for all forms of chametz, known or unknown. But the Torah Tamima finds support for this alternate girsa in the fact that the root lahashbit can mean different things in Tanakh. Some psukim use the word to refer to physical destruction, and others use it in the sense of ceasing or nullifying. Halacha Gimel. Umidivrei sofrim lechapes achara chametz v'machavo'ot uvachorim, v'livdok ulehotziyo mikol gvulo. V'chein midivrei sofrim shebodkinu mashbitin chametz balayla mitchilat lel arba asar le'or haner, mipnei shebalayla kol ha'am mitzuyin bevateihem, v'or haner yafel livdika, v'ein kovin midrash besof yom shlosha asar, v'chein ha'chacham lo yatchil likrot be'et zo, shema yimashech v'imana mibdika bitchilat zmana. There is a requirement, midrabanan, to search for chametz in all hidden places, including holes and crevices, and to remove this chametz from his premises. This must be done on the night of the 14th of Nisan, meaning the start of Erev Pesach, for two reasons. Nighttime is when people are home, and this is when the checking can be done by candlelight. As the Rambam explains in Halacha Dalid, the light of a candle is considered best to use for bedikat chametz because it is focused and constant, unlike the dispersed light from the sun or the moon. A larger flame like a torch is also problematic because one may be hesitant to stick it into all the hidden areas out of a concern that he might start a fire. Nowadays, many poskim recommend using a flashlight for bedikat chametz, which is at least as good as candlelight and has the added advantage of not being a fire hazard at all. In outdoor areas with plentiful light, the bedika may be done by sunlight. The Ramah writes that rooms and surfaces should be swept before checking for chametz, and from this developed the custom to carry around a feather during the bedika. All communal and individual learning is set aside in order to perform bedikat chametz at its proper time. Halacha hei. Chor shebe'emtza habayit shebein adam l'chavero. Zebodek ad makom she'edo magat, v'zebodek ad makom she'edo magat, v'asha'ar mevatlo belibo. V'chol makom she'ein machnisin lo chametz, eino tzarich bedika. If there is a hole in a wall between two homes, extending from one home to the other, then the resident in each home must check as far as his arm extends into the hole. If this still leaves some part in the middle of the hole, out of arm's reach on both sides, this area is difficult enough to access that bedika is not required, and bittul suffices. In general, one need not perform bedika on a room of the house into which chametz is never brought. In Halacha Vav, the Rambam brings examples of rooms which generally require bedika and rooms which don't. Examples of the first type include rooms in which one stores wine, beer, or wood, as these are items which often need to be replenished during a meal, and someone may walk into the room with food in his hand. However, the Rambam adds at the end of Halacha Vav, if one knows for sure that no chametz entered even one of these rooms, then the room does not need to be checked. Areas which generally don't need bedika include barns, chicken coops, and food storage rooms in which one knows in advance how much he will need, and so he doesn't come back for more during the meal. The Ravid points out that the Gemara considers oil to be such a food, and questions why the Rambam includes oil storerooms among the places which require bedika. The Magid Mishnah answers the question by changing the girsa in the Rambam. Obviously, if one knows that he did bring chametz into a room which generally doesn't need bedika, then the room needs to be checked. Halacha Zayin. Ein choshishin shema gara chulda chametz lamakom she'ein machnisin bo chametz, she'im nachush mibayit levayit nachush me'ir le'ir, ve'ein ladavar sof. Badak lel arba'asar v'hiniach eser chalot u'matza teisha, harei ze choshesh, v'tzarich livdok pam shnia, she'harei gara chulda o achbar bevadai. We are not concerned that a weasel, mouse, or some other rodent may have taken chametz from a room that requires bedika to one which does not, which, if it happened, would of course mandate bedika for the second room as well. The reason we do not worry about this possibility is ein ladavar sof. This concern, taken to an extreme, would be impossible to overcome. The Magid Mishnah explains the Rambam to mean that because not everyone does bedika at the same moment, we would need to worry that a rodent took chametz from a house which hasn't yet been checked to one which has, and the checked house would require another bedika, and so on, until everyone does bedika at the same time, which is impossible. However, if someone set aside a known amount of chametz after the bedika, and later finds that some of it is missing, then there is a genuine concern that it was moved by a rodent, and he must perform bedika chametz again. In this context, we note that those who have the custom of placing pieces of chametz throughout the house before bedikat chametz in order to find them during the bedika must be absolutely certain that they indeed found all the pieces that were left out, because if any are not found, then the house must be checked again. The next six halachot deal with an assortment of cases of safek, in which a mouse, or in one case a child, may or may not have taken chametz into a house which was already checked, which would require a second bedikat chametz to be performed. We'll summarize the details without reading all of the halachot inside. If we know for sure that a mouse carried a loaf of bread into a house that was already checked, then it must be checked again. By loaf or kikar, we mean any complete unit of bread, even a small roll, which does not crumble easily. Even if there are crumbs in one location in the house, we may not assume that these crumbs are the remains of the loaf which the mouse brought in. Rather, it may be that the crumbs were already there, despite the earlier bedika. If the owner, upon checking again, finds the entire loaf that the mouse brought in, then he may stop checking at that point. The situation is more lenient if a child brings a loaf into the house, because children are much more likely than mice to make crumbs when they eat. So if we find crumbs in one location in the house, we may assume that these crumbs are the remains of the loaf, and that the child ate the rest of it. But if there are no crumbs in the house, then we have to check again to look for the loaf which the child brought in. Halacha Yud. Hiniach tish'at ziburin shel matzah ve'echad shel chametz, uva achbar v'natal, ולא ידענו אם חמץ עם מצה נטל, ונכנס לבית בדוק, צריך לבדוק שכל הקבוע כמחצה על מחצה. This halacha and the next one deal with the concepts of kavua and kol deparish meruba parish, which we've already countered in Hilchot Shabbat Perek Bet. If there are 9 piles of matzah and 1 pile of chametz, and a mouse takes a loaf from one pile, we don't know which, and brings it into a house which has already been checked, then the house must be checked again. Why don't we follow the majority of piles, which are matzah? The concept of bitul barov only applies to a mixture, not to different items which are unmixed, like these 10 piles. Because the suffix originates in the stationary piles, when a mouse took a loaf from one of them, this suffix is called kavua, and we must treat it as 50-50 despite the much stronger likelihood that the loaf was matzah. This is the rule of kol kavua kemechza al mechza dami. The Ravid here asks a simple but strong question. Even if we treat the suffix as 50-50, we should nonetheless exempt the owner from checking the house again by applying the rule of suffix derabanan lekula, as bedika chametz is only midirabanan. The Ravid agrees that bitul is required on any chametz which may have come into the house, as bitul chametz is midoraita. The Makan Mishnah brings an answer to this question in the name of the Ra'ah. It's true that bedikat chametz is midrabanan, but the entire institution of bedikat chametz was enacted precisely because of the safek that there might be chametz sitting around the house that the owner forgot about or is unaware of. Therefore, part of the takana of bedikat chametz must be that we are machmir despite the safek, and so the general principle of safek derabanan lekula is suspended in the context of bedikat chametz. Halacha Yud Aleph lists several cases in which the house does not need to be checked again. The first is when there are 2 piles, 1 chametz, 1 matzah, in front of 2 houses, 1 checked, 1 not yet checked, and each of 2 mice takes a loaf from a different pile into a different house. We are allowed to assume that the matzah was taken into the checked house and the chametz into the unchecked one, and therefore the checked house does not need to be checked again. In the second case, there is only 1 pile of chametz loaves, from which a mouse takes a loaf and enters one of 2 checked houses. The owner of each house is allowed to assume that the mouse went into the other one and does not need to check his own house again. The Rambam explains the leniency in both of these cases with the phrase "ein kan kavua," there is no kavua here, which the Ravid finds difficult. It seems that there is no difference between these cases and the case in the last halacha of 10 piles regarding the origin of the suffix as kavua. In all cases, the mouse took a loaf from a stationary pile. The Magen Mishnah explains that the Rambam considers the suffix to be stronger when it relates to one specific house, like in Halacha Yud. But when the suffix includes 2 houses and relates to which of the 2 houses the chametz entered, this is considered a weaker suffix, and no house needs to be checked again. And these are the cases in Halacha Yud Aleph. We list briefly most of the cases in Halachot Yud Bet and Yud Gimel. If after Bedika, one leaves the remaining chametz in one corner of the house, and subsequently finds it in a different corner, he must check again, as clearly the chametz had been tampered with, and it is possible that there is more elsewhere in the house. Even if he finds the chametz in the original location, but finds more than he left there, he must check the house again for the same reason. When a mouse carrying chametz may or may not have entered the house at all, one house, unlike the case of 2 houses in the previous halacha, then the house must be checked. We note that the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam's conclusions in the first and third of these cases, but agrees in the middle case, where the owner finds more chametz than he left, that the house needs to be checked. In the Ravid's Girsa in the Rambam, there is one more case involving 10 piles of loaves, some chametz and some matzah. But unlike the earlier cases in which a mouse takes a loaf from a pile, in this case a loaf falls from one of the piles, and this loaf is taken by a mouse into a checked house. In this case, we follow the majority of the piles. If most are chametz, then the house must be checked. But if most are matzah, then it doesn't. Because the loaf separated from the piles, this isn't a case of kavua. Rather, we apply the rule of kol deparish meruba parish. Anything which separated from its original location may be assumed to have come from the majority type. If a mouse enters a house carrying a loaf, and then a mouse leaves the same house carrying a loaf, we may assume that the 2 mice are the same, and that the 2 loaves are the same, and so the house does not need to be checked again. But if the 2 mice are of different colors, or if the animal coming out was not a mouse at all, but a weasel, then we don't assume that the loaves are the same, and the house needs to be checked again. Halacha Yud Dalet. Kazait chametz bishmei korah mechayvin oto lehavi sulam lehorido shepamim yipol mishmei korah haya chametz babor ein mechayvin oto lehaloto ela mevatlo bilibo vidayo. If there is chametz on top of a beam attached to the ceiling, then one must bring a ladder to take the chametz down, as we are concerned that it may fall down during Pesach. On the other hand, if chametz is in a pit, then there is no possibility that it will ascend from the pit by itself during Pesach, and so there is no need to take it out before the holiday, though bittul must be done on that chametz. The Ravid interprets the Rambam to mean that one may put chametz into a pit and leave it there over Pesach, relying on bittul. He objects to this idea, as the Gemara says explicitly that one may not be matmin babor, which seems to be exactly this case. The Magen Mishnah explains that the Rambam never meant this, and he is referring in this halacha only to a case in which chametz fell by accident into a pit. Chazal did not require this chametz to be removed, but rather they rely on bittul, and this is considered the equivalent of chametz buried under a pile of rocks, which we'll see at the end of Perek Gimel. Halacha Tetvav discusses a kneading bowl in which there is dough located in the cracks. If there is a kazait of dough in one crack, or even if there are two pieces in two cracks, which together are the size of a kazait, and they are connected by a string of dough strong enough that pulling out the string extracts both pieces at the ends as well, then the dough must be removed and destroyed. If there is less than a kazayit, and this dough contributes to the use of the bowl by stopping up a hole or making the side of the bowl stronger, then we may assume that the owner is mevatel the chametz in its place for the benefit of the bowl, and it may be left there over Pesach. What if pieces smaller than a kazayit are scattered around the house? Even if they are separate, they must be removed and destroyed if together they are the size of a chazayit, because it can happen in a house that small pieces lying around are gathered together, thus forming a chazayit of chametz. But if each small piece is attached to the floor, ceiling, or wall in different locations in the house, then bittul is sufficient, as it is assumed that these pieces will not be gathered together. Halacha Yud Zayin. Hamaskir bayit stam barba'asar, hareza b'chizkat baduk, v'ino tzarich lishol. V'im huchzak ze hamaskir shelo badak, v'amra ishau katan anu bidaknu, hare elu nemanin, shakol nemanin al bi'ur chametz, v'akol kshirim v'dika, v'afilu nashim b'avadim uktanim, v'hu shiye katan shiyesh bo dat livdok. One who rents a house on the 14th of Nisan from an observant Jew may assume that the house was checked the previous night. There are different girsaot in the beginning of this halacha. Some have the phrase, ve'ino tzarich livdok, the renter doesn't need to check himself, based on the assumption that it was already checked. But what if the owner is around, and one can easily ask him if the house was indeed checked? It may be that the renter is required to verify this, and this is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. But the girsa of the Rambam, which I just read, is ve'ino tzarich lishol, meaning that even if the owner is available, the renter may assume the house was checked without asking anything. This is part of a very general and important question. Even when one is halachically allowed to rely on an assumption about the facts of a case, must he corroborate that assumption when it is possible to do so? The two girsaot in the Rambam may debate exactly this point. Continuing in the halacha, if it is known that the owner did not check the house the previous night, but someone else, even a woman or a child capable of checking the house, claims to have checked it, then the renter may rely on this and does not need to check the house himself. This teaches us two points, that a woman or a child is relied upon to perform bedikat chametz properly, and that they are believed when they say that the house has been checked. Even though we have more restrictive standards when it comes to dinim d'oraita, for instance, a child is not believed to say that a certain animal was shechted properly, bedikat chametz is midrabanan, and therefore anyone is believed to say that a house was checked. Halacha yudchet, hamaskir bayit l'chaviro, im ad shelo masar hamafteach chal arba'asar al hamaskir livdok, v'im mi shemasar hamafteach chal arba'asar al hasocher livdok. When one rents a house before the night of the 14th, who needs to check the house? It depends if the owner handed the key to the house to the renter before nightfall. If he did, then the renter is obligated to do the bedikah. Is this true even if the formal act of kinyan, which makes the rental binding, has not yet been done? The Rambam doesn't clarify this point, and it is a machloket rishonim. The Shulchan Aruch rules that only if both the kinyan and the handing over of the key were done before the night of the 14th must the renter check. Otherwise, the owner has this responsibility. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes Achronim, who are machmir to follow the opinion of other Rishonim, that even the handing over of the key by itself, before any kinyan was done on the rental, obligates the socher, the renter, to perform the bedikah. In this context, we note that according to many poskim, someone who stays in a hotel over Pesach is considered a renter of his room, because he receives the key, and only with his permission may hotel workers enter his room. And therefore, he must do bedikat chametz with a bracha on the night of the 14th. One who arrives in a hotel on the day of Erev Pesach, or in the middle of the holiday, should clarify if someone did bedikat chametz at the right time. And if not, then he should perform a bedikat at that point with a bracha. Continuing in Halacha Yudchet, Hamaskir bayit b'chezkat shehu baduk v'nimtza sheino baduk ala socher livdok v'eino mekach ta'ut v'afilu b'makom shebodkin b'sachar sharei mitzvah hu oseh. What if someone rents a house on the day of the 14th, and so by the last halacha may assume that it was already checked, but it turns out not to have been checked? May he claim that the rental is a mekach ta'ut, a mistaken transaction, and cancel it altogether? The answer is no, even though he needs to check the house himself or pay someone to check it. This is because halacha assumes that one does not consider it overly burdensome to do a mitzvah like bedikat chametz, even if it costs him money to do so. The Rama adds that in this case, the owner must nonetheless compensate the renter for any money he spent on the bedikah. But the Mishnah Berurah concludes that most achronim disagree with the Rama. Halacha yutet, ha-mefaresh bayam v'hayotze b'shayara. Toch 30 yom zakruch livdok. Kodem 30 yom im da'tov lachzor kodem ha-pesach, tzarich livdok v'achar kach yetze. Shema yachzor erev ha-pesach bein ha-shmashot, v'lo yelo p'nai leva'er. V'im ein da'tov lachzor, eino tzarich livdok. Does someone need to check his house if he leaves for an extended journey before the 14th of Nisan? If he leaves within 30 days before this time, meaning essentially from Purim or the day before, then he must do bedikat chametz before leaving. The Gemara relates this to the halacha that one must involve himself in learning the halachot of a holiday during the 30 days prior to the holiday. This halacha is indicative of a certain degree of involvement with a holiday during the 30 days preceding it, and this involvement creates an obligation of bedikat chametz before Pesach. The Shulchan Aruch rules that an alternative to checking early is to appoint a shaliach who will perform bedikat chametz at the proper time. What if he leaves within these 30 days without checking or appointing a shaliach? Acharonu debate if he must return to do the bedikah if this doesn't involve a significant financial loss. If it does, and for some acharonim even if it doesn't, then he may rely on bittul in this scenario. If the person leaves more than 30 days in advance, then the din depends on when he plans to return. If he plans to return before Pesach, then he must check before he leaves, as we are concerned that he may return just before Pesach and not have time at that point to get rid of all of his chametz. But if he plans to return only after Pesach, then he does not need to check before he leaves, and instead he does bittul wherever he is on Erev Pesach. We note that other Rishonim, including Rashi, understand differently the Gemara, which is the source of this psak, and hold that when someone leaves more than 30 days before Pesach, he needs to perform bedikah first only if he plans to return during Pesach, not if he plans to return before Pesach. In the latter case, we assume that he will return with enough time to do bedikat chametz at that point. The Shulchan Aruch accepts the Rambam's psak, but quotes this other view as well, and the Mishnah Berurah concludes that in a case of great need, one may rely on this more lenient opinion.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.